From Dublin, Texas, Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you this morning to Living on Every Word.
Discover what God might have in store. Do you hunger in your soul for something more? Living on Every Word.
This verse has three principles to it that I want to share with you that I think can revolutionize any life here today. I want you to notice the three statements. He says, as for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. Second statement, I say, you are my God. Third statement, my times are in your hands.
These times are in God's hands, and He is in control, and He is Lord.
Living on every word.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We have a guy in our church that every time you ask him how he's doing, he says, I am blessed beyond triple measure. That's his word. I'm blessed beyond triple measure. Been thinking about that this week, but I got to be honest with you about where I've been over the past few months. If you were to ask me in the past few months how I'm doing, I'd have to say I'm stressed beyond triple measure. And I know in light of the word last week, of the power of our words, that I don't need to be saying that. I need to be saying I'm blessed beyond triple measure, because we are blessed beyond triple measure. But nevertheless, that doesn't negate the struggles that we all go through in life. The financial struggles that we face, the uncertainties of where we are in this time of history, the uncertainties of sometimes our Christian walk, our Christian life. I know that as I've looked over the last few months, I found myself increasingly disappointed by my stressful responses to some of the things that have been going on in my life, and have been very disappointed in myself, especially when I read this passage of Scripture from this man called Paul, who was changed and transformed by the work of the Spirit of God. And the same Spirit of God that works in his life is the same Spirit of God that works in your life, in my life. And our responses should be the same across the table. Our responses as believers should be the same. Notice what he says in verse 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. In other words, I've got this same kind of faith, this same kind of heritage. And notice what he says. Are they servants of Christ? I speak as if insane. I more so. Watch. In far more labors, in far more imprisonments, beaten times without number, often in danger of death. Often in danger of death. Five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. By the way, the Lord Jesus Christ received from the Jews one time 39 lashes. Three times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep. I've been on frequent journeys. Not a one journey or two journeys, frequent journeys, in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brethren. I've been in labor and hardship throughout many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. And then apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. I read something like this, and first of all, I have to say, Fritcher, what is your problem? What is your problem? You know, I think what happens is that we walk in this world and we suffer, and the bottom line is this suffering is not really for the sake of Christ. We're not suffering today because we're walking in Jesus. And I look at this and I think of, here's Apostle Paul and the apostles and missionaries and people who have gone before us who have lived the faith in lands where it is not proper, according to the culture, to live for Christ. And I see the persecution and I see the tribulation, and yet page after page and writing after writing of the Apostle Paul, all we see is joy and life and faith and hope and peace and anticipation of God's grace and God's mercy and God's glory.
Every time you see this, you see it. And I look at my life and I think, I'm stressed about temporal things in my life. No one's trying to kill me. No one's trying to beat me. I mean, folks, none of that's happening. And I ask the question, why so stressed? Why so worried? Why so fearful? Why so nervous? Why? When we have the same Jesus and the same Spirit living within us as the people who've gone before us and suffered a whole lot more than I've ever dreamed of suffering for the sake of Christ. I feel like sometimes I'm a Martha when the Lord in Luke 10:41 gently rebuked her. And instead of saying Martha, he says Mike. Michael, Michael, you are worried and bothered about so many things, and only a few things are necessary, really only one. Why don't you choose the good part, the part that'll never, ever be taken away from you? It'll never, ever be taken away from you. And you know, that's where I find myself worrying about things that can be taken away from me and will be taken away from me and will burn and will be corrupted by rust and moth and can be broken in and stolen by thieves. And I find myself worrying about these temporal things. But I want you to know something. There's many of you who have been praying for me, and I appreciate your prayers. But on Monday morning, I had a breakthrough. My circumstances have not changed since Monday. But I want to tell you, God has done a work in my life. And it comes from Psalm chapter 31, verse 14. I want you to open to that. Psalm chapter 31. For some reason, I've been getting some sleepless nights and about two a week, and I haven't had a sleepless night in a week. And this verse has three principles to it that I want to share with you this morning that I think can revolutionize any life here today. I want you to notice the three statements, first of all, and then we'll look at the context. He says, "As for me, I trust in Thee, O Lord." Second statement, "I say, You are my God." Third statement, "My times are in Your hands." As for me, I will trust in You, O Lord. I'm saying You're my God. And I'm saying my times, my moments, my life, my years, my seasons, the seasons we go to, they're in Your hand. They're not in my hand. I can't control them. They're not in the church's hand. They're not in anybody's hand but His. These times are in God's hands. And He is in control and He is Lord. Now I want you to notice the context. Look at verse 9. Why David says, "As for me, I'll trust in the Lord." Notice in verse 9 what he says. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, because I'm in distress." I'm in distress right now. Be gracious, Lord. "My eye is wasted away from grief. My soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow. My years with sighing, my strength has failed because of my iniquity. My body has wasted away because of all my adversaries. I become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street, they flee from me, and I'm forgotten as a dead man. Out of mind, I'm like a broken vessel. For I've heard the slander of many. Terror is on every side. While they took counsel together against me, and they schemed to take my life." And what does he say in the context of his stressful days and stressful times? He says this, "As for me, I trust in You, O God." I love what this says. Because I can say, I trust in God. Or I can look at my great God and say, I trust in You, O God. Notice what this is. This is communication with Almighty God. This is a connection with Almighty God. It's more than a connection with people. It's not just saying to someone, I'm trusting in God. It's looking upward and it's saying, Lord, I'm this relationship with You. In my distress, in my grief, in the slander, in the counsel that takes against my life, as for me, I am going to trust You. I'm going to trust You. Doesn't have to testify about it. Doesn't have to name it and claim it. All he has to do is go straight into the throne room of God and say, I trust in You, O Lord, You're my God, and my times are in Your hands. You know, here's a guy that says he's in distress. His eyes wasted away from grief. His body is wasting away. His life is spent with sorrow. His years with sighing. His strength has failed. He's become a reproach. People flee from him. He's forgotten as a dead man. He's like a broken vessel. He's slandered on every side. Terror is on every side. died, and people are counseling together against him to take away his life. They're scheming to kill him. And what is his response? Three statements that will revolutionize any life. First of all, I trust in thee, O Lord. Say that with me. I trust in thee, O Lord. I mean, just saying that, folks. Just saying it. Confessing it. Just speaking that word and speaking it to him and him alone. I am trusting in you. Now, what does this word trust mean? This word trust means to press hard and run to for refuge. It means to be confident in something. It means to rest assured in something. It's a state of life where you have confidence, boldness, and security in the Lord. You've run to Him, you've run to His life, you've run to His Word, you've run to His presence, and you have found the peace, the confidence, the boldness, the safety of a great God who is protector and provider. It means that I lean into Him. And this trust is so wonderful, it is so exciting. It's sort of like when you walked into this place this morning and you sat down in the chair and you didn't think twice of whether this chair was going to hold you up. You got in this chair and you had no doubt in your mind that this thing was going to hold you up. Didn't even think about it. I mean, you just came in and sat down, and let me tell you, folks, this cloth here is going to rot one day. This stuff's going to rust. One day it's going to be in the heap, and you know what you did there? You trusted and you leaned in this chair in something that's temporal. I want to ask you, is your God better than this chair right here? Is our God better than a piece of furniture? I can lean into Him. I can sit into Him. I can trust Him to hold me up, sustain me with every circumstance that I find myself in. And I know one thing. We look at a whole continent stressed today. Stressed, burned out, worried with anxiety on all parts. But I'm going to tell you, folks, you don't have to trust in anything because anything else you trust in but God will never, ever be eternally dependable. You'll always, always be disappointed. When I think of this word trust and I look at all the wonderful passages of scriptures that speak of the benefits of trusting God, got a few of them for you here. There's a promise that when I trust in God, He does certain things. One of the promises is that when we trust in Him, we become fruitful even in hard times, even in difficult times. Notice what He says in Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. Who's he like? He's like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream, and he will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious. He won't be anxious in a year of drought nor cease to yield fruit. Folks, you won't fear when pressure comes your way. You won't have this emotional roller coaster when you are putting your trust in Him. When tough times come, when the heat comes, but Scripture says its leaves will be green and it will not be anxious even in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. This fruit will continue to move out of your heart and life. The second promise is the promise of direction. The promise of direction. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3, if you would. A wonderful passage of Scripture that many people memorize. Notice the foundation of this trust. The Word of God, chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. Don't forget the law. Don't forget the Word. And let them keep the commands. If you're walking in this worry and stress like you always walk in, Fritcher, you're not letting your heart keep my Word. For length of days and years of life and peace they'll add to you. And do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart so you'll find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. And here it is, folks. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Trusting in God. Keeping the Word, knowing what God has said, understanding and perceiving what God has said, and walking in simple obedience, folks, is an act of trust and an act of faith. The promise is if you trust me and He is your trust and you don't lean on your own understanding, in other words, you're just always trying to figure it out. You know, now you say, well, God gave me a brain to think. Well, I understand that, okay? But He's still God, folks. And my mind and my heart is corrupt by nature. Is that right? It is. And He says, listen, the heart is deceitfully wicked above all else. When you lean on your own understanding, saying, well, my God gave me common sense. Folks, listen, He says, don't lean on your own understanding. I mean, we've done that enough, folks, haven't we? We've done that enough. And you know, I learned something a long time ago about my worries. You know, I'd get a worry and I'd quote something like this: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him. He's going to direct your paths. No peace. Quote it again: trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding, all your ways acknowledge Him. He'll direct your paths. No peace. And I would quote it and quote it and quote it. And then one day God said, hey, why don't you quit quoting and start doing it? Why don't you start living it? Trust in the Lord. You'll get the direction that you need in this life. The third promise is the promise of victory. Love this passage of Scripture. Came across it. I don't think I'd ever really noticed it, but it's just a short verse. 2 Chronicles 13:18. The sons of Israel were subdued at that time, and the sons of Judah. You're looking at two kingdoms when Israel was separated. Israel were 10 tribes. Judah was 2 tribes. Scripture says Israel was subdued. They were conquered. And Judah conquered because why? They trusted in the Lord, the God of their fathers. Two people, two kinds of nations from the same seed, same stock, same heritage. One trusts, the other doesn't. The one who trusts, what does he do? He conquers. And yet the other guy from the same stock, same faith, same heritage, they get conquered all over the place, subdued, because they fail to trust their God. Folks, it's the promise of victory today when you trust Him. You know, there's the promise of assurance with relationship with God. And it's another rich verse that I've stumbled across this week. The Lord is good in Nahum 1:7. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And watch this. He knows those who take refuge in Him. You look up the word know, and it's the intimate relationship. It's the same word used in the King James Version when the Bible says Adam knew his wife Eve. We have an assurance of relationship with God, and He is saying, I know you. I have this intimate relationship with you. He says, those who trust Him and take refuge in Him, He says, He knows them. He knows those who trust Him. And then another promise is you'll never be disappointed. Psalm 22:4, indeed, our fathers have trusted. They trusted, and Thou didst deliver them. To Thee they cried out, they were delivered. In You they trusted, and they were not disappointed. You'll never be disappointed when you trust in God. You'll always find disappointment when you trust something or someone other than God. My disappointments in life is because when I put my trust in man, when I put my trust in Mike Fritcher, but when I put my trust in God, I had never, ever been disappointed. You know, I think sometimes we walk in this disappointment and we wonder why. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because we're not trusting our great God. We're not leaning into Him. Walk in worry, walk in fear, walk in anxiety. And believe me, I know about it. But I want to tell you, folks, there is a warning in Scripture and an illustration from Scripture that I want to share with you about not trusting God and leaning on something else. Turn to Isaiah chapter 31, if you would. Isaiah chapter 31. Notice what he says. Woe, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help. Woe to those who go to the world for help, and they rely on horses, and they trust in chariots because they're many, and they trust in horsemen because they're very strong. Folks, he's talking about warfare here. He's not talking about having a car or a horse. He's talking about trusting in these things to deliver you. Okay, that's what he's saying. And he's saying this in a time of warfare. You rely on the horses, you trust in chariots, you trust in horsemen because they're strong, but they do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor do they seek the Lord. Yet He also is wise and will bring disaster and does not retract His words, but will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of the workers of iniquity. And the Egyptians, they're men, they're not God. Their horses are flesh, not spirit. And so the Lord will stretch out His hand, and he who helps will stumble, and he whose help will fall, and all of them will come to an end together. Woe to those who rely on something other than God. I want to ask you, what are you trusting in today? What are you leaning into today? What is it that just gets you all stirred up or
all excited. Because whatever gets me stirred up and whatever gets me excited is usually the thing that I'm leaning into other than God. As for me, I am trusting in you. I just say it. God, in the midst of all this stuff going on in my life, I'm trusting you. There's something powerful about that word, something wonderful about it, and I'm going to refuse to rely on anything else. Is this first principle alive in your life? As for me, I trust in thee, O Lord. Is it alive in you today? The second statement is, I say, you are my God. I say, you are my God. I look at my life and I think all the things that I've been depending on. And you know what, folks? Ministry's not our God. The banker's not our God. Our finances are not our God. Nothing else in this life is our God. Egypt, the world, our stuff, the things of this world, they are not our God. I am going to trust in you. You're my God. Nothing else in this world is my God. Nothing else in this life is going to satisfy me like you, Lord. And so I'm not going to bow down to anything but you because you're my God. David says, I'm in distress, my eyes wasting away, all these things are coming against me, but I say I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to say, you are my God. Nothing else in this life is my God. Not security, folks. Not financial security. Certainly we've learned that it's not found in retirement in the stock market. Isn't that right? Folks, our security is not found in anything but Him. He is my God. Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2 says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I'll say to the Lord, my refuge, and here it is, my fortress, and my God in whom I trust. Nothing else but my God. I say, you're my God. And then the third statement that has revolutionized my life this week is, my times are in your hands. My times are in your hand. When I look at the word times, it's the seasons of our lives. It's the moments of my life. In other words, what David is saying is, listen, He is Lord, He is sovereign God in every moment of my life. Every day, every moment, everything that I'm going through, they're in His hands and His hands alone. And you know, I noticed that all these things that I've been worrying about are the things that I've been placing in my hands and not in His hands. I've been trying to carry it. I've been trying to bear it. And folks, my times are not to be in my hands. They are in God's hands. The moments of my life, the days of my life, the months of my life, the weeks of my life, the seasons of my life. Folks, the years of my life, they are in His hands, not mine, not yours, not anybody else's. And when I place these things in His hands, my times are in your hands. Father, I'm saying, God, this day, it's in your hand and no one else's. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Verse 31 says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us all things? In other words, listen, He delivered Him up. He delivered the best. He delivered the first. How will He not also with Him freely give you all the things you need? He's already given you the best. And everything else after that is just wonderful. So we have this God who's wanting to give peace, wanting to give life, wanting to give the gifts. Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is He who died, yes, rather, who was raised up and who's at the right hand of God, who also is interceding for us, praying for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall my time of tribulation separate me from the love of Christ? No, my times are in His hand. If I'm going through tribulation, my times are in His hand. It will never separate me from the love of Christ. Shall tribulation? What about distress? Times of distress? We all go through them, folks. We all go through them. I mean, none of us are immune to them. But shall that distress separate us from the love of Christ? No. Shall persecution or of famine or of a nakedness or of peril or of war and sword? No. These things will never separate us from the love of Christ. And if we have the love of Christ and we're walking it, folks, we respond properly to it. And we walk in this victory, even in stressful times.
He says in verse 37, but in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. Beaten five times without numbers is saying this. Beaten with rods three times is saying this. The one who was stoned said this. Imprisonment after imprisonment is saying this. Isn't he? He's the one saying it, folks. And he's saying, listen, we overwhelmingly conquer. I've conquered through every one of those circumstances. Did it hurt? Yeah, it hurt. Did I cry? Yeah, I cried. Did I struggle with worry and fear? Yeah, I struggled with it. But I conquered. I conquered. I conquered in the name of Christ. Because I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, depth, nor any other created thing, hallelujah, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you believe that today? My times are in your hands. And not only that, we overwhelmingly conquer in our times. Ecclesiastes 3:1 says, listen, there's a time for everything. There's a season for everything. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to raise up. Folks, my times are in His hand. Your times are in His hand. You can't control your times. So quit trying. Quit worrying about Him. Quit fearing over Him. Your times are in His hand. Do you believe that today? What a great God. Do I have anything to worry about? Anything to walk in anxiety about? Anything to walk in fear over? No. Because my times are in your hands, O Lord. And worrying and fearing and stressing out is a waste of your time and your energy. As for me, I trust in the Lord. As for me, I trust in the Lord. I say, you are my God, and my times are in your hands. Would you bow with me right now? So are you? You may be in the furnace right now. Let's just look up. See Jesus in there with you. If you really think about it, you're really not getting burned. Not getting burned up. Unless you're responding in a way that's not pleasing to God. Let me ask you, you're trusting in Him today? Is He your God? Is He your God? Or is some golden image out there something that you're trying to trust? Do you believe that your times are in His hands? And He's the sovereign God of the universe. And no matter what you're going through today, He desires to bring great deliverance to you. Would you let Him do that today? Just let Him. Go on and do that. Just let Him. Hey, we can quote, trust the Lord with all your heart, lean on your own understanding, from here to kingdom come. Won't mean a hill of beans unless you do it. So just do that right. Would you just say in your spirit, Lord, I trust you today. Would you forgive me for not trusting you, the sovereign living God? Lord, we've complained and we've murmured and we've walked in all this disappointment, God, but no more. No more, Lord. Today, I trusted you. And I say, you're my God. And my times, this season, is in your hands. Which is a very good place to be, Lord.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929. Or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Just as man does.